Thank you for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio on LiveParanormal.com. Hosted by owners Robert Zarek and Nikki Paranormal. Hello, everyone. My name is Nikki Paranormal, and you're listening to Paranormal Spotlight Radio. This is another special edition. Without further ado, I'll bring in Rob Zarek. Him and I will be hosting the show.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Out of the show a little early, I apologize.
What?
But couldn't be better.
Good. Glad to hear it.
I think the bottom line for some of the shows we scheduled last week was I tried to make my comeback too early, so it was a little bit difficult. But yeah, I think we're good to go. So I'm excited for tonight. We'll see what he's been up to.
Definitely.
The story's coming out now. Unless what I find interesting is when I go on like Facebook and I see like people, what they're doing in their neighborhoods or, you know, family members are doing different things. And those are fun to watch. I watched a community in, I think, Ireland. They call it bin day. So I'm guessing that would be garbage day. And plus they had garbage cans. So it was easy to put two and two together. As they were taking their garbage out, they each of the guys was dressed as a member of the village people, and then they did the YMCA. You know, nothing you typically do, but like it's a type of like human interaction that we wouldn't have done prior to this. Stupid things like that is kind of cool to see, and it's like that's my positive twist on it.
Well, there you go.
We did go.
That had to have been pretty funny. I haven't seen that, so. Would have been funnier if you would have done it. I would love to have that on video.
One day.
Maybe.
I doubt it.
Don't make promises that you don't plan on keeping. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't know if one day promises are ever one that you have to actually uphold. Because your time might be out before that one day comes.
They're on-air promises.
Ooh. Yeah, but still, like, it's a one day. It's not
Other people are my witness.
Tuesday. Right, but I could, like, you know, you can die before you get your one day promises, I think. That's my interpretation of a one day promise. Like, oh, man, look, I have 1,000 or more one day promises. Like, didn't get to, like, take my garbage out as the village people.
Mhm. I'll be waiting for the video.
Oh, only if you do it with me.
I'm good.
You should have just said one day because it would apply to you too, the one day.
No, I'll hold the camera. How about that?
All right, well, let's move on from that because I don't want to make any more one-day promises.
Yes, let's move on.
Because apparently our interpretation of one-day promises are not the same.
Yeah,
it's like
probably
a, like
not.
A maybe, probably. Maybe with a wink to me. And to you, it's like something needs to be done this year. You know, so.
Like, yeah, we want to see it. We want to see it.
Let's transition from the opening monologue into bringing our guests right on. And I won't make any more promises.
That'll work.
So we have, as you say, we have Steve on tonight, and let's just bring him in and see what he's been up to. I have a hunch.
Steve, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Going crazy.
We appreciate you being flexible in your schedule and rescheduling.
Don't worry about that. How are you feeling?
I am doing okay. Much better than I was at this time last week. I don't know why. I thought one day off of major surgery, I'd be like, good to go. It was definitely, in hindsight, that would have been. I don't know where.
I had that same thing happen. I had surgery on a Wednesday or a Tuesday, and I was supposed to go to a retirement party on Thursday. And I'm like, yeah, no problem. I'll be there. 18 perkin' then later, I was still sitting in bed, you know, two Thursdays after that. It wasn't happening.
It doesn't pan out like you think. Like, when I was laying there before, see, I had to sit for 2 days before I had the surgery, and I was, like, thinking in my mind a timetable and stuff. And I don't know if it was just, like, the medicine I was on, but my timetable, like, when it came to the reality of the actual timetable, was way off.
Yeah, it was.
I was like, I'll be jogging and squatting and stuff for like a month. And they're like, yeah, you can't even move your knee for 6 weeks. I was like, wow, that's not what I was anticipating. So apparently I'm married to my brace now for the next 6 months. And
yeah,
it was a much, much more major surgery than I had anticipated. So apparently there's different degrees of like rupturing the patella tendon. And mine was 100% fully ruptured, and I figured it was bad because my kneecap was like half up in my thigh, so I called her and I was like, hey, I'm getting picked up and I'm gonna have to have surgery. She's like, how do you know you have to have surgery? I'm like, it's one of those that's like you can tell, you know, you just you know this isn't gonna, there's no Band-Aid or ace bandage that's gonna, you know, fix this one. So
yeah,
but overall I'm good.
Well, that's the main thing. At least you're upright and you're talking.
Yeah, it's just another.
And he's not missing much. Because we can't go anywhere.
No.
So. Perfect timing, if you kind of.
Yeah, it's funny because I've been getting reached out. You know, people have been reaching out left and right trying to get me on to do interviews with them because they know I'm not filming, obviously. We've been put on hiatus. And, you know, so everybody's I'm doing another show tomorrow night, and another one Saturday night. I did a magazine interview this afternoon. So between that and working on my house, slowly but surely, it's taking up time. The days are going by quick for me, but I live alone, and I live on live in a house, so I'm not stuck cooped up in a condo or anything, or an apartment.
Right.
So I get to go outside. I live on the water, so I can take a kayak out or fish off my dock if I want. So. My time goes by pretty quick, but I talk to people that got like 3-4 kids and they're homeschooling them. They're ready to kill each other. I feel terrible.
Yes. It's really not fun.
It's horrible.
I'm going through that.
No.
It sucks.
Well, I feel
I
for
love
you.
School.
It's funny. Yeah, it's funny because that's like the mom's best part of the day is when they drop them off. They're like, oh, now they're in somebody else's hair. Leave me alone for now.
Yep.
But, yeah.
I always thought I could homeschool.
Yeah, so
I came
time.
To the realization, it cannot happen. Like I'm not. I don't have the patience. I found it out the hard way now. No homeschool for me.
I can understand that. I've been divorced 7 years. I've been living alone for 7 years, over 7 years, and I don't even think I could cohabitate with another woman ever again. I don't think it's a couple of days here and there. I don't mind, but I don't think I could ever live with somebody. Like on a constant basis, I don't think it's in my DNA anymore. You know, once you get used to a certain way, it's kind of hard. You know,
right? Oh
and
yeah.
And I'm old, so.
Well, I don't want to live with me anyway. One thing you don't want to get into, and you're completely lucky you don't have to, is Common Core Math. I have two daughters that are both doing Common Core Math, and they're like, I would have failed sixth grade. It's the most ridiculous concept I've ever heard. I mean, they're like, help me with your math. Because I'm known as like the math guy. I'm the one that helps with the math. Until I looked at Common Core and I became the not math guy. I don't know what the proper. See, I'm not the English guy, right? I had a better, word than not math guy. But
the not math.
Man, that Common Core, it makes no sense. They need to do away with that.
I couldn't deal with it. My daughter's a tax attorney. And, for some reason, she has a master's in accounting and she's got a law degree. And I'm like, I don't know where that came from. It had to come from your mother's side, but it definitely didn't come from my side. When it came to stuff like that. You know, she loved math. And I'm like, okay, whatever, whatever you like, as long as you pass. It's okay.
Right, whatever you're into. Glad you're good at it.
No,
don't ask for help.
That's it. You do it, I'll pay for it. Just, make sure you're doing it good.
There you go.
But,
exactly.
And you mentioned, you know, being in quarantine, and it's kind of, you know, our interviews have been completely different than our normal interviews lately. Plus, we've been doing a ton because we don't have anything else to do. And, you know,
yeah.
It's like, we're just like kind of like, you know what, with people because, and people aren't enjoying it because we get to find out what other people are doing. And, you know, there's only so much you can do to keep yourself.
Yeah.
Occupied.
Well, you know, one of my sisters accidentally FaceTimed me. I bought her an iPhone for her birthday last year, and she still don't know how to work the damn thing, right? So yesterday, I'm in the kitchen. I make myself breakfast. Well, I just come back from a bike ride, and it sounded like, you know, that noise it makes when you get the FaceTime? And I realized it's my sister, so I'm getting a little worried. So I said, oh, I better answer that. And she doesn't even realize she's on camera talking. Like, she doesn't even know. And I'm like, Stephanie, it's Steven. Hello. And she goes, oh, my God. You know, she jumped back because she saw my face on the phone. And that was an hour and a half long FaceTime because she was so excited by this new what did she call it? Fandangled,
science,
or whatever the hell technology. Yeah, that's what she used. And I had a laugh, like, because I'm the youngest of six of us, and well, there's only three of us left, but I'm the youngest, and it cracks me up. So now she wants to FaceTime every week.
Uh-oh.
I'm like, oh, I can't do that. Yeah. I was gonna say that sounds like a lot of work. Yeah, she's just, and then my brother-in-law gets on, and then he starts, because they're losing their mind too. You know, they locked down. They were in Virginia, outside of Raleigh, North Carolina, and they locked down. Well, she went on self-imposed lockdown, I think, 3 weeks before they even told them to. So,
oh wow,
she's, you know, they're going, they're going batshit crazy over there. So,
yeah.
Now,
oh my goodness,
like you said,
now
with all this time on our hands, we want to reach out to people, and this is what happens.
Exactly. Then you learn how to use FaceTime, and it's all downhill.
Oh,
yep.
That's it. But it's a good way to keep in touch with people without the physical touch, obviously. I mean, being able to FaceTime,
oh, yeah.
I think, is an incredible thing. And, you know,
oh, yeah.
The whole, now they're doing the Zoom and, you know, Party Line, whatever the hell they call it. You know, none of the guys I hang out with will do it, you know, because it's too macho.
Right.
You know, we're all too macho to get into this whole Zoom thing. You know, we just call each other on the phone and that's it.
Right.
But none of the guys will do that. But I
I'm
think it's great that
tech,
people at least
can
be in contact that way. Yeah.
I'm good with the text. I'm like, yeah, you know, it's you get back to me when you want to. You know, the whole video calling thing. You got to hold the phone. And I'm just not into that.
Or prop it
too
and
much.
Then it falls. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's just, it's
yeah,
a lot of work.
Too
yeah.
much.
So.
I like to do things.
Yeah,
I like to be busy and not just want to, no, I can't do it.
Yeah, it's definitely not a guy thing. Like, my buddy said, called me today, and he's like,
mm-mm.
What have you been up to? He's like, you been talking to anybody, doing FaceTime or anything? I'm like, yeah, I've been on FaceTime. And I'm like, yes. I already know what he looks like, you know, and our banter with me and my friends is very unforgiving. So I don't think we want to throw an extra element into it.
Yeah,
you know,
we call us a little hurtful.
Yeah, that's pretty much like our opening lines are completely negative. Like I'm like, hey, how's this? And he's like, hey, how's this? You know, and it's like, I don't know. You know, it's not something you wouldn't say to anyone except for your buddies. So,
right.
Yeah, it's definitely
like,
not for the weak skinned or the thin skinned people. I tell you that. Me and my friends are brutal to each other, but you know what? It's all in good fun, and it's all it counts.
But I've got one buddy that will take, and he, like, sets himself up. Like, the stuff he says is just like, you tell me this stuff, and it's like you're setting yourself up just for years and years of, you know, being ragged on. So, he was talking about his ex-wife left him for another guy, and he's like, he's not really that bad of a guy. We kind of get out. I'm like, what are you, hanging out with them and stuff? And then they're like, so now when we're talking today, I'm like, hey, how's your ex-wife's new husband? And keep you guys hanging out or whatever? You know, so it's completely unforgiving. But
he brought it up.
You know, Yeah, it's stupid.
Exactly. His mistake.
But one thing that we, I'm going to try to tie this back into any kind of like interview here. So we, one thing we have done, and I've mentioned, we do the Paranormal Spotlight, and we traditionally for the past 6 years have done it every Tuesday at 10:30. Then it gets syndicated all over, the podcast goes over, but we do one per week. Now we're doing like four or five per week. And we've been doing these, what we call free reading nights. And I believe it's helping people because we get a ton of response, and we have, one or sometimes two psychic mediums that call in and they, do free readings. And we've been doing like marathons, like 3 hours, and it's fun. And, people really enjoy it. And I know with you working with Amy, is that something that you had did or prior to getting involved with the show, or is that something new?
I was never involved in anything paranormal as far as like being interested in ghost hunting or anything. I mean, I was anything but that. But I did use a couple of psychics on a couple of homicide cases I had, and that it really. And that's not something that was utilized a lot. I mean, it's almost taboo on the NYPD. It's not admissible in court, so nobody wants to use it. But, when you need a break on a case, you do what you got to do.
Right.
And I knew one of the detectives that broke me in, a well-respected guy throughout the job, he used to utilize a psychic in Jersey. He would never tell us who it was. I found out later on who it was. But... mm-hmm. And she was pretty famous, and I didn't, really. She passed away since then, but really famous psychic. So, I never shunned away from people involved in that, but I just was never interested in it. I'm still, believe it or not, I'm not interested in the paranormal whatsoever. My interest is in helping people. If this is a way of helping them, and I can utilize a physical medium to do it, it's still doing a service. I have no interest in sitting in a room for 10 hours waiting for something to happen or, walking around with a flashlight or listening. I did surveillance for years when I was in narcotics. I don't want to be sitting around waiting for something to happen. I did that. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt. And,
right.
People get annoyed with me when they're like, what do you mean you never had an experience? What part of I've never had an experience do you not comprehend? I mean, it's so hard to figure out. If I'm telling you I didn't have one, I didn't have one. So can't believe it, but and they're like, I can't wait till you have one. I'm like, why? I have no interest in having a paranormal, experience. I mean, nobody dead ever tried to kill me. I can tell you that, right off the bat. I've been quite a few hair-raising, almost killed experiences where nobody dead ever tried to kill me. So those are the ones I worry about. I don't worry about the dead. So for me, as far as the paranormal goes, I have an interest in, I guess, like everybody else would, what happens when you die, right? That's the big interest. And some of the stuff I've learned on the show makes me apprehensive to want to die because, you hear what Amy says, well, this person's in their death state, they can't move on, this, that. I'm like, holy crap, I don't want to, hope that doesn't happen
to me. I don't want
to
be one of those. Right.
Yeah. I may come back and haunt my ex-wife if she's still alive. That's about the only thing I would do, but other than that.
I understand that one. I think we've all got that list of people who were like, yeah, you just wait.
You just wait. Yeah, so it was funny because when I got approached to do the show and Jim Casey, who created it, talked to me about it, I'm like, because we had done some other stuff prior to that. It had nothing to do with the paranormal, and all the networks were like, hey, he's too New York, he's too fat, he's too short, he's this, he's too this, whatever the case was. He's too rough around the edges. And they were looking for the next Mike Rowe, I guess, from the Dirtiest Jobs or something. And I definitely don't fit that category. But, somebody at the Travel Channel, and me and Jim, he talked to me about doing the paranormal show. I said, what are you out of your mind, the paranormal show? And that's when we came up with the concept that my end of it would be just be pragmatic and my type of investigation. I'm not a believer in, I don't disbelieve in the paranormal. I'm an open-minded skeptic. I do believe there's stuff going on. I'm just, I don't believe people. You know, that's who I don't believe.
Right.
Do I believe everything a client tells me on the show? Of course not. I mean, I'm a detective deep down inside. I'm never going to believe everybody 100%. Do they embellish? I'm sure they do. But at the same time, doesn't mean there's nothing going on. And obviously
right.
there is once Amy can verify it with her walk. But, you know, people, I'm more skeptical of people than they're being paranormal. Like some of the stuff you see on TV and the way people describe stuff, I mean, it's ridiculous. And it's like, you know, seeing somebody getting thrown across a room. I mean, come on. When's anybody ever really seen that? You know, and I don't
right.
trust anything that's on YouTube. I don't trust anything that's on a video. Not with today's technology. It's ridiculous. You know, you just can't.
Mm-hmm.
You can. They have a ghost app, right? Don't they have something where you can put a ghost in a scene or something? I mean, there's
oh,
a
yeah.
million things that
yep.
go on out there. Yeah. So as far as the paranormal
oh, yeah.
goes, I'm, you know, I'm a believer in it, not 100% on everything, but I do believe there's something goes on after you die. You know, about
right.
the whole demons and alien things, I'm still, you know, I'm still up in the air about a few
We're
things
there with
that
you
Amy
on
comes
that.
Out with, but
yeah.
Yeah.
We're with you on that. We don't, you know, there's a lot more demons on TV than I think we find in the field as investigators. You know, there's,
right.
I mean... You know, and everyone wants to think that they have a demon. I'm like, why do you want a demon? You don't want a demon.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I don't want a demon, you know.
Yeah.
I just want a grumpy old
well,
man.
You know,
that's
Amy,
all I'm looking for, you know.
Right. You know, and Amy will always say that, you know, actual possessions are very rare, you know,
mm-hmm.
if you even want to believe in. You know, they're very, very rare. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, if she says that, you know, mm-hmm. how are you going to believe this? Oh, we have 1,000 possessions this year, or whatever the case might be.
Right.
Everybody's like, you know, well, they watch too much TV. That's the other problem. You know?
Yeah. I think we'd have to.
The long answer to your question.
No, I get it. And I am completely skeptical. But I will be honest. There was one time that I witnessed, I don't know if you would call it a possession or a takeover or what you would call it. And I've never seen like it before or after. There was only one time. And why I feel is credible because it happened to Nicole. And
yeah, it was weird.
I
don't remember it.
She doesn't remember
it. I just know what
it.
They said. It was strange.
And,
but I don't call it a possession. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't normal.
No.
Well, Amy,
from the
Amy
video.
Explains the jumping thing a lot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Amy talks
yeah.
a lot about when people get jumped, and she's been jumped a couple of times. So that's something I can
mm-hmm.
wrap my head around. You
right.
know, when somebody else jumps you.
Well, and that's just it. Yeah. I wouldn't call it a possession because, like, I'm like, no, I don't call it that. You know, it was just, it was.
Yeah, I mean,
from
yeah,
the,
yeah,
I only.
Yeah. You're not
Linda
Blair with your head spinning around with. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I would have loved that. Are you
no,
kidding
but
me?
She was.
That
she was.
Cool.
She forgot how to walk. She couldn't walk. She was walking like on her ankles, and I don't know how her ankles didn't roll. And she became a man named Mr. Wills. We were at a place called the House of Wills in Cleveland, Ohio. She has never been to Cleveland, Ohio. And
Ohio's a hot.
We were doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were doing a walk. What's that?
I said,
sorry,
he said, Ohio's a hotbed, and it really is. Ohio's
yeah.
definitely got a lot going on.
It is. And there was, so mm-hmm. this place is, it was the predominant African-American funeral home, and it backtracks the very first opera house in Cleveland. It has a huge history, and we did mm-hmm. our walkthrough, and we didn't get a tour or anything. We like to go in and just kind of like walk through and all of a sudden, we're doing our thing. We record everything, and she was I couldn't find her. You know, like when someone's physically next to you, you can feel them. And she like wanders off. It's pitch black, so I was just thinking, oh, she wandered off or whatever. I still kept doing my thing, and then I looked in another couple of seconds, and I realized she was bent down tying her shoe. Now she always interrupts me and says, "I wear boots. They don't have ties." I'm like, well, I don't really know my female fashion. I apologize. So it was like a minute. She was down there tying her shoes, which I think is like more than like a normal thing. So I like I put my arm around her, pick her up, and, like, her face is just, like, completely, like, blank and, like, almost, like, gone. It's just weird. And I'm like, we need to, you know, get out of here. So it was in the basement, make up to the main, make our way up to the main part. And I'm holding her kind of like you would hold a baby with one arm. And, you know, when a baby tries to, like, flail out of your arms and they're, like, pointing and they need to get away, she starts doing it. She points down the hall. She's like, I need to get to my offices. I was like, what are you talking about? You need to get to your offices. You know, that doesn't make any sense. We've never even been here. How do you know the offices are down there? And so they have, like, an outside where, like, the cars, the carport, you can stand on the roof. And she goes out there and she's looking. She's like, man, the area's really gone down here over the years. And talking about the area, keep in mind she's never been to Cleveland before. And so
and I wasn't cussing.
Like
that
no,
was the biggest part. I wasn't cussing. And I cursed like
a sailor.
And she has
a bit of a southern accent. And the southern accent was gone. And she talks very fast. So no southern accent. Slow. Really, the accent was gone. And it was just the most bizarre thing. So, like, a whole month afterwards, I kept, every time I call her, I'd be like, hey, is Mr. Wills there? Because I swear it was like, and
I had those choice, beautiful words to say when I would answer after that.
Well, at least you can laugh about it. Nothing bad happened.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's a good thing.
No.
She came back too, so that was good. If she didn't come back too, and she was still Mr. Wills, then, you know, that might be an issue.
Right. If I only, only call me Mr. Wills. From here on out,
she still
that
thought she was
weird.
Mr. Wills, and put a whole damper in a lot of things. But at least she didn't go into her offices and got some paperwork done.
Yeah.
What you talking about, Willis?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that
right?
was the first.
Exactly.
That was the first and only experience that we've had like that. So I don't know. I felt like sharing that story for some reason, but it is. I'm right there with you. And when people mention the aliens. When I sometimes I check out, which I shouldn't say as a podcast host and a live radio host. But, you know, once the aliens start coming, it's like, oh boy, she's messaged me. We have message communication during the show. She's like, stay with it, stay with it. And I'm like, okay. But it always ties back into the aliens, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I just. Listen, I'm not the expert when it comes to that stuff, you know, so I never would try to psychoanalyze it or try to, you know, figure it out. It's not my background. It's not my field. And I think that's one of the reasons the show works is I don't dive into the whole, you know, I've been ghost hunting for 30 years. I've never been on a ghost hunt.
Right.
I've gone to I've been on at a convention where they try to put me in a haunted room and with a bunch of guests and everything, but nothing ever happens when I'm there. So it's something that I guess it's like everything else. Once you experience it, you can never forget it. And, you know, like the first time you get shot at, you know, it's something you'll never forget. You know, it stays with you and, you know, you hope it doesn't happen again, but if it does, you're ready.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Well, and I think that's what we always tell the skeptics. That's like what you had just said is pretty much our little spiel to the skeptics, because they're like, hey, like we've had where we've gone and done an investigation and we've nailed a piece of evidence and they're still like, yeah, I wasn't there. So really it's until you're there and it happens to you, you're not going to, secondhand is only as good as a person's been to you. Even if that person's word, you know, you can trust and stories from happen to you. So until you have your own piece of equipment that, you know, has whatever or you experience yourself, you're not going to believe it.
You know,
or at least be skeptical.
A lot of people try to force. Yeah, but people try to force themselves on. Like, I was doing an interview with a woman in, I don't know where the hell we were. I think it was in Reno, Nevada. And I'm interviewing her in the room, and she's like, "Don't you feel the energy, the negative energy in this room?" I'm like, "No." She goes, "What do you mean you don't feel it?" I'm like, what part of no don't you understand? No, I don't. I don't feel anything. How can you not feel it? I'm like,
I don't.
Okay. I don't. Well, you know, so it's as if you're projecting what you want to feel and what you want me to feel, but I'm not feeling it. So don't get bent out of shape because I don't feel it. You know, if you think you're that sensitive, I'm sorry you're feeling it. but you know, I'll break my balls just because I'm not feeling it. You know, I get annoyed with that. It's like, well, how can you not feel it? I'm like, easy. Watch me.
Right. Not feeling it. Still not feeling it. That's why I always say it's like almost like a religion. You know, like someone's trying to push their beliefs on you and make you join this cult. And I'm always like, you know, when I do my public tours, because a place that I work at does public ghost tours, and I have skeptics all the time who come on my tours, and, you know, they're like, you know, well, you didn't really try to push it on me. I said, it's not my job to push it on you. You know, if you have something happen, awesome. If you don't believe in it, hey, whatever. You paid to come here. That's cool. But you don't have to believe. I can tell you what other people have experienced. You know, if you want to believe it, you can. If you want to knock it, go ahead. Just, you know, be respectful is all I ask. You know.
That's it. You know, you're not asking for a lot.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Now, I would
let
think,
that fun.
It's probably a question for Amy, but this just popped in my head. There's probably people out there who think they're psychic or have abilities. And do they ever, you ever get into a part where someone like interferes or says, no, she's wrong or you're wrong because I'm psychic and it's this way? Does that ever happen?
That we involved in our show?
Yeah.
No.
Like, you know, someone you're interviewing or something, like, oh, I'm psychic or.
No. Well,
no.
we've had people that believe they have abilities that are either witnesses or even the client, but usually the client's not that, you know, not involved as far as them talking about their psychic abilities. It's always somebody they know that comes to the house or something like that. And, you know, of course, they swear that they believe that there's a ghost of Joe, whoever, in this home because I felt him and I heard the name. You know, and then we do the reveal, and there's nothing that Amy saw has come anywhere close to what so-called psychics have, said they've seen in the house. So, you know, we try to shy away from it because, you know what, Amy's the goddamn medium here. So,
right.
If you're so good, why would you be calling us? If you're that good of a psychic and you're friends with these people, you're related, fix it yourself. You
Amen.
Know? Obviously,
right.
Obviously you can't. You know, we try to, you know, when people start talking that the psychic babble, I'm like, you know what, let's just get to the, I don't want to hear about your psychic shit. Let's just get to the, what
right,
you witnessed
point.
In that
yeah.
I don't want to hear what your opinion is, you know. So I nip it in the bud really quick. But
well, that's what I would think. I think, like, you know, some people like that have the stories for you probably all the mountain probably high that have like done their own little research or thought they were.
Yeah. Well, you know, some clients do have some good information, but usually it's never 100%. It's usually they have a piece of it right or none of it's right at all or some of it is, but the facts are wrong on their end. And it's to no fault of them, you know, it's what they're being told, you know, we have clients, oh, we heard that a guy hung himself in the living room here. So, you know, I'm looking in the living room, like, from where? There's no beams, there's nothing to show, you know, where did he hang himself on a heavy bag? You know, what did he do? And then you go to find out it never happened. The neighbor across the street's filling them with stories and, you know, it's nonsense.
When the stories that become almost like, I don't want to say urban legend, but the legend, you know, our story takes off, it's for itself. We had a gentleman on a couple weeks ago now who does research, and he was talking about there's a place local to me called Gore Orphanage. And the story, it's one of those that even my parents went out to Gore Orphanage. And, you know, the stories are so different. But they just get embellished over the years that it's hard to even find the actual story. And how often do you run into like just the dead ends of like, where did this story begin? And you know how do you do that?
Yeah. Well, it's difficult because I tell people all the time, where'd you get your information? Like, well, on the Google, you know, the famous the Google. I'm like, well, where did the information generate from? Is it from a university?
Right.
Is it from, you know, family member? Where's this information coming from? Well, it's on the internet. Well, I can tell you factually that the internet says I'm 54 years old. I'm going to be 54 and I'm married to Morgan Fairchild. Is any of that true? Absolutely not. So you're going to tell me everything on the internet you read is true. So obviously, especially if you look up my net worth, that's totally off the, I don't know where the hell they get those numbers from. And I'm laughing because like people believe that if it's on the internet, it's got to be true. And to me, the internet's just like the paper, you know, or the media, in my opinion. And I'm not a fan of the media in any shape, way, or form. But, you know, I tell people, you got to know where the information comes from. That's why we like to use, especially if we have family members that know the person that might have lived there. That's who you want to talk to. You don't want to talk to somebody, you know, that worked with him for 10 minutes 100 years ago. You know, you want to talk to somebody that knows the person. Or you want to get the information from an individual or university, rather, someplace where you know the information has been researched thoroughly. You know, the other thing is people are like, I read this in a book. Well, you know, writers can write whatever the hell they want. Doesn't mean it's necessarily true. You know,
right.
You watch documentaries, it's the way they want to portray what they're making the documentary on. Doesn't mean that's actually 100% the way it is. You know, I've seen 1,000 documentaries on certain things, and I'm like, a couple of them I was actually involved with, and I'm like, that didn't happen the way they're saying it happened. But it's the way they portray it on the documentary. So, you know, people are just very, I got it off the Google. Okay, I'm happy for you.
Right.
You know, and people say, how come you still use microfiche? Because there's a lot of information you can't get on the internet that you can find on the microfiche. You know, people don't realize that. It's still a wealth of information. And utilizing the right people to help you, you know, genealogists, historians, stuff like that. People that, you know, that's their bread and butter, and that's what they take passionately, you know, what they do. So they're very fact-oriented, you know, very fact-oriented people that are, you know, I don't know. It's not a job I would want to do, but, you know, God bless them.
Right. Definitely.
And I think that's definitely beneficial. We have a guy that does research and comes with us, and it aids in what we do. You know, I know you do not enjoy ghost hunting or paranormal investigating at all, based on what you just said 10 minutes ago. But when we take our guy out, you know, there's stuff that we might get responses on that we just think is nonsense, but it turns out it's relevant to that house or to the building.
Right.
You know, so it there is research in, you know, even what we do. You know, we were at a place and we got a response. They kept saying, I'm a hog. And I was like, well, that's, you know, in what context are you using that? And I thought negative.
Right. I was like, wow.
But it turns out, yeah, well, congratulations, you're a hog. And it turns out that the hogs were relevant to the building. So without us having that piece of information, you know, it actually was something we could use in our, you know, presentation to the owner. Like, we found these people, they kept saying a hog, and there's actually the hogs live there. So, you know, I think research is key. And, you know, for us going out to a place that I think we kind of believe in responsible ghost hunting, if there is such a thing where we don't let the investigation.
Well, there is. No, you're absolutely right. There is.
You know,
a lot of people I've met along the way are really nice, very authentic, and very passionate about helping people. But you get a lot of these guys and women out there that just want to get their rocks off and try to get, you know, stir shit up and then have an experience or get something on a recording or something. So, you know, it's either you really want to help or you're there to get your own rocks off, you know. And to those people that want to just get, you know, get their own thing out of it, they're not doing the right thing by the people that live there. So,
right.
And, you know, I've heard it 1,000 times on the show where they've brought a team in and they just made things a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we could try to cut it out of the show because we don't want to encourage people to, you know. But then people do need to know that, you know, you got to really research who you have coming to your home.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Well, that's completely true. And there's like devices that we use, like a ghost box. You know, it scans the radio. So you pick up radio frequency and you pick up, you know, little blips and blurbs of radio. And, you know, there's sometimes we get full sentences or words that come through that are relevant and make sense in this interaction. But then, you know, there's other times that the words come through, but they're radio. And you don't know how many times we've gone on investigations with or seen people use them, but we feel it incorrectly. and they'll say, hey, how are you? And it'll say pickle, and they're like, you're hungry? You want a pickle? And then let the device lead them. And that's just like the most annoying. If that's the way they want to do it, it's their time. You know, so that's cool. But like, for us, like if it's leading us, if that device is building a story, the odds are that story is going to be way off. You know, so that's at least how we function. So I think, you know, when it comes to having people in your house, they have to do as much research as possible. You know, I think testimonials are
people are perfect strangers.
Only as good as you can write on your webpage is as good as that testimonial is, unless you can actually research it. You know, a lot of times the testimonials are like Rita S. said these people are amazing. You know, who the hell is
They're
Rita?
They're good.
S? You know, so how do you get a hold of that Rita S? You know, it's like their mom or something. You know, so
Yeah, great job.
At least that's where we come from, you know, and what we do. So it kind of ties in. There's a little bit of a crossover there.
A little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to the history of the buildings and stuff, like, was that something you actually enjoyed prior to being, you know, involved with the show? Because I can see that, you know, being a detective and what you do, really probably – the crossover is amazing, but what about, like, did you actually have an interest in the history of buildings and old history prior to the show?
Not really. I mean, you know, history in itself is interesting, but I mean, I was never one to, you know, want to research a location or anything like that. You know, I find history very interesting. I've always watched documentaries about, you know, our past, especially this country. And, you know, I find that stuff interesting, but I never had a, because I worked my whole life was working, doing research on trying to find the bad guy. So my life was wrapped up in that. So for me, you know, I worked homicide for 13 straight years, and, you know, you add the amount of homicides over those years, you're talking over 1,000 homicides I've investigated. And it just, you know, when you're used to doing that, to me, that's the ultimate research, for lack of a better word. So once you've done that, it's almost hard to find an interest in anything else as far as that goes. You know, right now I'm doing it for, this is what I do. You know, when I retired from the police department, you know, I went to work for the Merrill Lynch for the fraud unit, and I was, you know, investigating frauds, which was not my cup of tea, and I didn't last long at that job. But, you know, it's, for me, like, you know, hunting man is the ultimate research, the ultimate thing for me. So, you know, I never got interested in like, oh, you know, I wonder what ever happened in that building or what's going on here, unless it involved a homicide. You know, if it did that, then it's a different story.
So when you do your research, you see there's like a homicide involved. Does it kind of excite you more?
You know, it's not that it excites me that there was a homicide, but it does in a way, because it's my wheelhouse, right? So I know I'm going to be able to get to talk to somebody about a homicide. That's my wheelhouse, and it's easier for me to. The interview goes a lot smoother. It's a lot easier to talk to another cop about a homicide, and it just makes my day better. And it's interesting, especially if it's unsolved, to try to speculate what might have happened. So it kind of brings me back to a, you know, very special time in my life. I mean, you know, what I do now, it's nothing heroic. And people are like, oh, you guys are such heroes for going into these buildings and helping. I'm like, I wouldn't call us heroes for doing what we're doing. You know, I don't consider myself a hero. But, you know, it brings me back to times when, you know, to solve a homicide to me was the ultimate great feeling, you know. And, you know, in a sense, we're trying to help these people now, and with Amy's help, they are being, you know, getting some gratification and finding out what the hell's going on, at least, getting some answers. So there's that. But I do miss, I miss the clowns, not the circus, if you put it that way. I do miss working the streets, though.
Well, that's like me when I do the podcast or the live show, and someone mentioned sports, and I know I'm allowed to respond sports, because normally she shuts it down. She's like, hey, don't bring up anything about that stupid Ohio State football or anything. I'm like, no, I won't, I promise. And then when, you know, someone brings up sports, I'm like, oh, my God, now I can freely talk about it. But you mentioned being the gratification of, you know, what you're doing now. Are there any that, like, just stick with you, that you, like, you bring home with you, that you've, you know, thought about, or, hey, I wonder how that's going?
I do keep in touch with a lot of the clients after the fact. Not all of them, obviously, but some of them. Because you know, I create a bond with these people because I spend a lot of time with them on the phone and in person. Matter of fact, the show that's on right now as we speak, or is it off now? No, it's off now. We just had one of the last episodes there for tonight, and I heard from the client about how they're doing. Things aren't going well because the team that was supposed to go out there to help them got put off because of this COVID-19 stuff. They couldn't go out there. So everything's being put on hold. Help. But, you know, they're trying to figure things out. But, they thanked me for me and Amy for everything. And so I keep in touch with a lot of the clients, which is nice because you know, see how they're doing, how their life's going on and everything else, the majority of them are doing very well. The majority, although sometimes me and Amy feel like we're marriage counselors in half these cases, because there's a lot more going on than just the paranormal in some of these homes. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, and it's pretty obvious when you watch an episode with, you know, there's definitely underlying problems. We've been at each other's throats, and I'm like, listen, you're married. Of course, you're gonna be, why
that's
is it
normal,
paranormal?
Right.
Explain to me why this is paranormal and it's not just husband wife crap. You know,
right.
Well, we never fought before.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I had a couple of good years before me and my wife didn't stop fighting over and over. You know, we got a couple of those blissful years too, but things change.
Yeah.
I was married 26 years.
Amen.
I think the first six were in bed. Yeah. So,
we understand that.
It's some
that.
Funny stuff, though.
Yeah. You might talk about giving hope to the listeners. Spreading the hope.
Yeah. I always say when tell me they're getting married, I'm like, what are you doing? Why?
The first thing I say, I tell them my condolences. And they look at me like, wow.
Right, that's what me too. I'm like, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, my condolences. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
You'll see. Never mind. Go ahead.
You'll
love company. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yep.
Two words, prenup. That's all I say.
There you go. That's good.
Yeah, I think that's one of those things you have to experience yourself, just like, you know, I think any guy, you know, as you're growing up, there's like that older guy that tries to tell you what's going to happen or how it goes.
Man.
And you're like, that's not true. You know, that's not going to be me. You know,
hey,
break up with the first girlfriend or something. You know, and they're like, no, that's not me. And then you become that old guy at one point.
Yeah. I didn't listen. I had uncles who don't get married. Whatever you do, don't get married. Oh, but I love her. Yeah, all right, whatever. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah, exactly. You just wasted on the young. You know, it's basically what it boils down to.
Yep. True.
I think it's a never-ending cycle that just you it's a progression. You're that 18-year-old kid that's getting the advice, and you totally like disrespect the advice. You're like, that's not true. That's not me. That's never going to happen. And then you become like
your
40s, and then you tell the same story to someone who's 18.
Yeah.
And you tell them like, hey, you know, I thought this was going to happen, and it did, and it's exactly what someone told me. And they're like, and they think you're stupid. And then they become the 40-year-old guy. You know, it's a progression. It's just a life progression.
It's a coming of age.
I've noticed it because I've been giving the same advice that I got when I was 18 now. And everyone who's 18 or whatever looks at me and they're like, yeah, whatever. That's not the case.
Whatever, grumpy
well, you,
old
like,
man.
All right, you'll
right.
see.
Yeah. You can't tell any kid today anything because they think they know it all. So it's like falling on deaf ears anyway.
Yep.
You know,
right.
Most
like
kids today think
whammy.
That... yeah, well, you know, I know how to work in computers, so I know everything. Okay. Sure you do.
I started reading on Google. You know, I know it's true.
Yeah, on the Google,
I know
yeah.
I see that. I'm like, right, back to the Google. Yep. You got it.
Well, it's better than seeing it on the Facebook, so.
Yeah, it's funny because people get their news from every day from Facebook because they think that's legitimate news. Well, although today legitimate news is not legitimate news anymore, but
exactly.
Not like when I was quite growing up. But I mean, you got to watch the BBC if you want any kind of nonpartisan news reporting because everybody's got an opinion and that's it. So it's kind of crappy.
Well, I think now on Facebook
sure.
They circulate fake BBC headlines.
Yeah,
that's the part that always
yeah.
get you. Just a little
you can't
twist.
Win.
Like what?
So
when Kobe Bryant died, it took me like I checked
yeah.
15 sources before I actually was like, oh, it's probably legitimate because I just figured it was wrong. You know, and then when like it was on ESPN and stuff, and I was like, well, I don't think ESPN is involved in like, reporting fake news. But, like, it took me a little bit of time just to actually believe it because I just figured it was fake news.
Well, yeah, that's the problem. Then you get jaded and you don't believe anything. And then some stuff
mm-hmm.
slips through the cracks because you're too busy, like, well, I don't believe anything I'm hearing today, so.
Right. So when,
right.
when the aliens come, they may actually be coming.
Yeah.
yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Well, we'll see.
That's going to be the issue. The time they actually
yeah,
come,
still a hard sell.
No one's going to believe that they're actually here. Well, I guess we're coming to an end here. So I was wondering, do you have any other amazing quarantine plans coming up? You going to do anything
you
else
know what
in your house? And...
yeah, no, I've been working on my garage for the last 2 weeks that have been, you know, I'm so proud of myself, actually. I'm almost there. I'm just waiting for some... stuff I ordered to get delivered so I could finish. And,
mm-hmm.
well, you're never finished when you have a house, but,
oh, yeah.
you know, I'm very proud of my garage. Every time I walk in there, I just have a big smile on my face. You know, I've pretty much done everything to the house that can be done. I redid everything, but, everything's clean. There's no dust anywhere. I can tell you that.
Nice.
Yesterday I Bissell steamed my porcelain floors and that, you know, that took half the day up. That's a slow process,
oh, yeah.
and but you know, it, and then we've had a lot of hot weather down here. It's been it went from you know, we had record breaking temperatures. We had August temperature in April, which we never do. We're usually in the low 80s.
Oh wow!
Yeah, we were breaking 90. We were breaking 90 every day, and then today it dropped down to the 70s and high 70s, and it's rainy and windy out. So, but we need the rain. We haven't had rain here in a while. You know, I find something to do. My days, you know, I can preoccupy myself with anything, so I'm always good at it. I still have my office to arrange, you know, there's always something. There's touch-ups got to be done around the house. There's always something. So when people say I'm bored, I'm like, there's got to be something you could be doing, you know.
Right.
Even if it's going online and taking a, I don't know. Yeah, just, you know, take a course or, you know, go through your bills that you've collected. You got bills there from 2012. Do you really need a copy of a bill from 2012? You know what I mean? Stuff like that.
Right.
So that's my next venture is cleaning out my my office and getting rid of, you know, documents I don't need anymore. I mean, because we keep shit for years that for no reason. You know, the IRS tells you got to go back 7 years. Fine, I'll keep that stuff. But do I really need the statements from a bank account that I no longer have anymore? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I look at my file drawer and I'm like, what is all this crap in here? Do I even need any of this stuff? You know, organize, you know, is it mainly organize your, you know, your stuff for your utilities? I mean, you know, let's say your refrigerator or your dishwasher, put that all that stuff in one spot, make it one place where if something goes wrong, you can find it, you know? So those are the things I'm looking
yeah.
to do, is just organize and maintain and prep things up a little bit. My office is in Miami, it's a work in progress.
I think you have the advantage of living in Florida.
And living alone,
I know
too,
my,
that helps, you know.
Been living alone, I'd get it all done if I lived alone.
My friends
yeah.
in Florida, so I grew up in South Florida, and my friends in Florida now are like posting walking the beach and stuff, and I'm like, I looked outside and it was snowing yesterday, so I was like, you know, there is that
yeah.
advantage of having that nice weather. So I won't
yeah.
I won't talk
yeah.
to my
I mean,
Florida right now.
Yeah. Yeah, my sister was pissed at me too. She goes, "How's the weather there?" I'm like, "Well, it's pretty freaking hot." She goes, "Screw you! It's we because she lives in Virginia and they got a cold snap out of nowhere." And
yep.
Like, hey, I tell you, I've been trying to get you to move down here for 6 years now. You won't come, so I don't have to tell you. And there's my brother-in-law screaming in the background, "I want to come! I want to come!" You know, they're retired. You know, he's fed up with being in the cold weather. But you know, my nieces are up there, and her grandkids are up there. So, but you know, it is what it is. But you know what? I think now that we got this downtime, everybody should try to do something constructive in your home. Even like I said, even organizing your file cabinet. There's so much crap in there that you don't need anymore. And I started to do it the other day, and then I did get something that came in the mail that I could use to install in my garage. So, that you know, the office always takes a back seat to the garage.
Yeah. I understand that.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, we appreciate having you on tonight.
I appreciate you having me.
I'm very grateful you allow us to bump you back a week, and maybe we'll have to check in with you again if we're still quarantined to see if you got any exciting projects. We'll do like a home improvement show.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? It's I'm hoping this is going to be a sooner than later thing, but I'm not optimistic when it comes to this stuff. I'm worried about a second wave hitting, and so you know, and people are just stupid. They're not doing the right thing to try to quell this, and you know, I see them in Manhattan. People are sending me pictures. They're all in Central Park just walking around. I mean, like right next to each other. And, you know, I guess it's easier said than done, but, you know, people do have to go to work and, you know, the essential people. And it's just, you know, wear a mask if you're going to be out. You know, wear gloves.
Right.
You know, even when I go to the drugstore and I go through the drive-thru, they have that canister, but they actually did away with that, which I think is a good thing. And now you don't have to worry about that. You just, you know, stick your money in there and you take your stuff and you go. But you know what? Keep some, what's that stuff? The stuff to wash your hands with. What the hell they call it?
Hand
gel, you know, that hand sanitizer. Keep that with you if you can get any. And, you know, just be diligent with it. That's all. You know, we had an old couple down here in Florida on the East Coast down by, I think it was in Pompano area. And they were having card games with six other people, four other couples, and now three of them are dead because they came back from somewhere and from a cruise, and they all had it, and now three of them are dead, and everybody else in the group has tested positive, but they were all in their late 70s. You know, it's a couple of them in their early 80s.
Wow.
I mean, these are the people that those are the ones that are going to affect everybody because they're not, you know.
Taking
the precautions,
and
the young kids are just doing what they want. Yeah.
For sure.
It all leads back to a cruise.
Yeah.
Anytime I go on the internet and I check my email of a Yahoo account or something, it's always about a cruise. Always something negative.
Oh yeah.
I've never seen anything positive about a cruise. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't been on a cruise in years. I don't have no intention of going on anyone soon.
You'll die.
Sure.
Right?
I don't know what the death rate is. Got to be 10, 20% nowadays on a cruise.
Probably higher now.
Stuck at sea. They've been circling on the sea for like months, some of them. And that was even before the virus.
Yeah.
They're
out to sea.
Oh, I hate cruises. I made an analogy that there's of the Hindenburg. And, you know, they thought the Hindenburg was a good idea. And I think in 100 years from now, cruise ships are going to be what that we remember the Hindenburg as.
I mean, it's a floating petri dish, right? I mean, it's basically what it is.
Yeah.
True.
It's
Can you hear about the people?
I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah,
oh,
thanks for coming on and talking to us.
We will talk to you soon, and
no,
good luck
better.
With all your housework. Oh, good. I
appreciate
I will.
That. Okay. All right, nice talking to you guys. Have a good night.
Thanks. Take care. Bye bye.
You too. Bye bye.
Well, that was fun. Another non-paranormal show.
Yeah, that's all right.
Well,
but thank you, everyone, for tuning in.
Yeah. Thank you everyone for tuning in, and we'll see you tomorrow for Free Reading Night on Live Paranormal and Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio. And we actually have a Free Reading Night Facebook page now. It's picking up some steam.
Yeah.
So go there.
Yeah, check it out.
I wish I had the URL. I think it's Free Reading Nights on Live Paranormal.
I think so. I think it is.
Yeah, talk about the plug.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know how to get there, but you should go there.
Yeah, however you get there. Maybe we could share the
right,
link
well, thank,
later.
Yeah, I think we may, because that was a bad job.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks.
Well, thanks
everybody.
Everyone for tuning in and joining us tomorrow night. Wash your hands.
And your feet. No cruises.
And be productive. No cruises. Be productive. Do something constructive. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.